WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
At 8 o'clock, it's foggy and 47 degrees in Atlantic. A dense fog advisory remains in effect until 10 a.m. for Audubon, Guthrie, Dallas, Cass, Adair, Adams, and Taylor counties, until 11 a.m. for Monona, Harrison, Shelby, Pottawatomie, Montgomery, and Page counties, with visibilities less than a quarter of a mile at times. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. The Pottawatomie County Emergency Management Agency, National Weather Service, and other preparedness partners will conduct a Severe Weather Awareness Week to promote severe weather safety to citizens the week of March the 19th through the 23rd. Now, the National Weather Service will promote weather safety by issuing informative daily public information statements. Citizens can also get that information by following the Pottawatomie County Emergency Management Agency on Facebook. The topics will include severe weather terminology, severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, tornado drill, lightning, flooding, and social media. Now, the annual Tornado Drill Day in Pottawatomie County will be next Wednesday, March 21st, but if there is severe weather that day, that'll be postponed to Thursday. The drill sequence begins at 10 a.m. with sirens sounding in Pottawatomie County at around 10:10 a.m. The test warning will be valid for 20 minutes. And officials say that all citizens, businesses, schools, healthcare facilities, and public facilities are encouraged to participate in that drill next Wednesday by practicing what you would do in the event of a real tornado warning. The county's 911 center will activate outdoor warning sirens in Pottawatomie County next Wednesday for the communities of Avoca, Carson, Carter Lake, Council Bluffs, Crescent, Macedonia, McClellan, Neola, Oakland, and Underwood. Citizens in other Pottawatomie counties are encouraged to contact their city hall or local fire department to see if the sirens will be sounding during the drill on Wednesday. And the Emergency Management Agency also wants to remind the citizens of Pottawatomie County that all outdoor warning sirens have limited to no effectiveness when you're in your home or traveling in your vehicle. Pottawatomie County residents and residents of the communities are strongly encouraged to sign up for the Code Red Emergency Notification System. That's free of charge, and you'll receive a phone call to your home and or cell phone when severe weather threatens. You can sign up if you're in Pottawatomie County by going to www.pottcounty.com. News time is 8:02.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
The Harlan Police Department Thursday issued a report on recent arrests. Officials say on March the 8th, 49-year-old Dale Knoll of Harlan was arrested on a charge of public intoxication after officers were informed that Knoll had walked away from the Murtu Medical Center. He was located, taken into custody, and brought to the Shelby County Jail. Knoll later pled guilty to the offense and was fined $200 plus court costs. On March the 7th, 19-year-old Corey Williams of Harlan was cited for hitting fixtures on a highway after allegedly striking a utility pole on 7th Street in Harlan. The pole was subsequently replaced by the Harlan Municipal Utilities crew. And on March the 23rd, 23-year-old Theodore Behrens of Harlan was arrested on an active Shelby County warrant for violation of a no-contact or protective order. Behrens was being held in the Shelby County Jail. Higher fuel prices haven't slowed the economy much in rural areas of 10 Midwestern and Plain states. A monthly survey of rural bankers showed no change in March. The overall economic index registered 59.6 again this month. Any score above 50 suggests the economy will grow. The bankers appear quite optimistic about the next 6 months because the confidence index rose to 63 in March from February's 60.3. Creighton University economist Ernie Goss said there's still a fair amount of uncertainty about the economy, so many farmers and businesses are reluctant to expand. The hiring index rose to 60 in March from February's 53.7, suggesting that businesses are hiring. The value of Iowa farmland is up by nearly 11% over the last 6 months as commodity prices remain strong. A survey of real estate agents shows the value of good quality farmland jumped by 10.8% to an average of $9,370 an acre. The Iowa Farm and Land at Chapter No. 2 of the Realtors Land Institute released its survey on Thursday. The gains varied from 9% in northeast Iowa to nearly 13% in southwest Iowa from September 1st to March 1st. Troy Luigi of the Hertz Farm Management says several factors are driving up land values, including high commodity prices and low interest rates. He says land sales have been strong in the last 6 months and the survey results are not surprising. The former director of a government-funded job training agency who misspent millions of dollars faces another fight. The Des Moines Register reports U.S. government wants Ramona Cunningham's monthly public pension check of $2,700. Prosecutors say the check is necessary to pay her outstanding $1.6 million restitution debt stemming from her time at the helm of the Central Iowa Employment and Training Consortium, or CTEC. Cunningham's attorney, Chip Lowe, says the government is improperly trying to seize wages that Cunningham would be entitled to keep under most portions of federal law. A hearing is set for March the 26th. Cunningham is serving a 7-year prison sentence. She pleaded guilty in 2008 to fraud, obstruction, and conspiracy. She was deemed to be the ringleader of a plan to misspend over $2.5 million on executive bonuses and salaries at CTEC. A Polk County jury has convicted a Nebraska filmmaker of fraud for securing tax credits under a program aimed at building Iowa's film industry. The Attorney General's Office said the jury on Thursday found Dennis Brouse of Plattsmouth, Nebraska, guilty of fraudulent practice. The jury acquitted Brouse of theft and ongoing criminal conduct. He faces up to 10 years in prison when he's sentenced on May the 2nd. Brouse owns Changing Horses Productions, which produced a series of TV shows and DVDs that were related to horse training. Prosecutors said the company received tax credits totaling over $9 million for the projects. Brouse is the seventh person convicted in the scandal so far. The film program was shut down in 2009 after a state audit showed millions of dollars were improperly awarded. A task force put together to explore ways to improve and cut costs in Iowa's legal system has submitted its final report. Iowa Supreme Court Assistant Counsel Timothy Eckley says one of the recommendations is to create a two-tiered system.
For a tiered system, you draw a line at a certain dollar threshold value, I'll say $50,000. In cases below the $50,000 limit, might have some streamlined processes built into the litigation process. Whereas cases over the amounts, whatever the amount may be, more complex cases could have different procedures in place that would be more suitable to that kind of case.
Another recommendation is to set up the courts to handle only business cases.
The idea is that if you have a judge or a panel of judges that are experienced in that kind of law or dedicated to that kind of case, they can move those cases along more efficiently. If you have a particular judge dedicated to a particularly complex business litigation.
Other recommendations include assigning one judge to one case throughout the process, using more video and teleconferencing to cut costs, and limiting the amount paid to expert witnesses. Eckley says some of the ideas have been tried in Iowa on a pilot basis, and all were taken from other court systems as the panel looked at many possibilities for improving the system. Next step, he says, is in the hands of the Supreme Court. He says the court will review the report and make some determinations as to whether there are recommendations in the report that are able to be implemented, whether there are sections of the report that recommend there may be more study in a particular area or not. Eckley says there is no timeline set for moving ahead with any of the recommendations at this time, and some of the proposals could be implemented by the courts without any changes from the legislature.
I think it depends on the recommendation and what form it might take, what procedure. It depends on what some things might be able to be done with court rule, other things might require legislation.
The Civil Justice Reform Task Force included a 14-member steering committee appointed by the Iowa Supreme Court and 71 other members representing business, law, labor, medicine, industry, and consumer groups. The task force report is available on the Iowa Judicial Branch website at www.iowacourts.gov. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour here on KJAN, The U.S. soldier accused of killing 16 Afghan civilians could arrive in the United States as early as today. A senior defense official said that soldier is expected to be flown to the U.S. military prison at Fort Leavenworth, Kansas. He's been held in Kuwait. Many Afghan lawmakers and civilians say they want the soldier tried publicly in Afghanistan. Meteorologists say the tornado that ripped through southeast Michigan yesterday stayed on the ground for a half an hour. The National Weather Service said based on the damage, winds were about 135 miles per hour. The storm hit Dexter, Michigan, and surrounding communities, damaging more than 100 homes. There were no reports of injuries. And Republican presidential candidate Newt Gingrich said there's probably no circumstances that would lead him to pull out of the race before the GOP National Convention in August. Gingrich said that he'll be in Tampa. The former House Speaker and Georgia congressman has won primaries in only two states, Georgia and South Carolina. News time is 8:10.
Is your world shrinking? I'm not referring to the size of the planet, but to your surroundings, the part of your world in which you interact. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're beginning to experience a hearing loss, or if you've had one and it's becoming worse, your world really does, in essence, start to shrink. For example, if you're sitting close to someone in a small, well-lit room, it's not difficult to hear the person talking to you. But beyond that easy listening situation, you could begin to struggle. Compare it to being in the woods at night with only a candle. You won't see very much. But if you exchange that candle for a flashlight, your circle will be a bit larger. And then when the sun comes up, you'd be able to see quite a distance. The same thing happens with hearing loss and hearing aids. In your small, well-lit room, your circle is, again, pretty small. But my goal is to help people realize when they're having a problem, and then to try to expand their circle, to get them out of their small room and back to enjoying the world. People's experiences vary, and there's not a one-size-fits-all remedy. But the first step to keeping your circle where you want is to make an appointment. Call today. ASI with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll.
In the funeral announcements, Clarence Petrie, age 104, of Stewart and formerly of Adair, died Saturday at the Stewart Community Care Center. Funeral services for Clarence Petrie will be this morning at 10:30 at St. John's Lutheran Church, northwest of Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Delmer Larson, age 72, of Oakland, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Delmer Larson will be today at 11 a.m. at the Oakland Christian Church. Reconvene Funeral Home in Oakland has arrangements. Ann Swanson, age 99, of Audubon, died Tuesday at the Friendship Home in Audubon. Funeral services for Ann Swanson will be this afternoon at 2 o'clock at the Audubon Church of Christ. Kessler Funeral Home in Audubon has arrangements. Wayne Tibben, age 91, of Audubon, died Thursday at the Manning Plaza Nursing Home. Funeral services for Wayne Tibben will be tomorrow at 1 o'clock at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Johnson and Woodhouse Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Lorraine Killian, age 88, formerly of Lewis, died Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Funeral services for Lorraine Killian will be held on Saturday at 1:30 at United Congregational Methodist Church in Lewis. Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic has arrangements. Evelyn Lydon, age 77, of Fontenelle, died Thursday at her home. Funeral services for Evelyn Lydon are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle. Ronald Mueller, age 70, of Greenfield, died Thursday at the Greenfield Manor. Funeral services for Ronald Mueller are pending at the Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield. Clara Sunderman, age 98, of Atlantic, died Thursday at the Heritage House in Atlantic. Services for Clara Sunderman are pending at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. And Eugene Figgins, age 76, of Atlantic, died Wednesday in Omaha. Services for Eugene Figgins are pending at the Roland Funeral Home in Atlantic. That is a check of our news and funeral announcements here on KJAN, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.